Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Mind Shifters Radio with the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael Rice. I'm Jeannie Rice, your co-host. We also have co-hosts Dr. Tim Hayes and Michelle Bichette. We will share with you the wisdom of the first century Aramaic internal process of forgiveness. We offer tools and support 5 days a week. We will support you in building a solid foundation within yourself to live in pure love, in Aramaic, Brachma. Michael is the author of the book, Why Is This Happening to Me Again? For more information about the forgiveness process, please visit www.whyagain.org. And now, welcome to the show, Mind Shifters Radio.
Hello and welcome to Mind Shifters Radio. I'm Tim Hayes. I'm your host for the first hour. And today is Thursday, September 2nd, 2021. As always, we're grateful to everyone who's joining us here today, whether you're listening live or through the archives, as we spend another couple of hours teaching and supporting people in using some of the most powerful, effective, efficient, and accessible tools I've ever encountered. These tools are available absolutely free on whyagain.org. If you go to that website and click on the Start Here link in the upper left-hand corner, it will take you to a page where you can download and read Chapter 24 of Dr. Michael Rice's book. His book is titled, Why Is This Happening to Me Again? And that chapter of the book contains a narrative description of the primary tool in this work. That tool is called the Reality Management Worksheet, sometimes called the Reality Management Wake-Up Sheet. And it's a tool I've been using to great effect for over 17 years to improve the quality of my life and most of my relationships and turn any negative emotional experience into part of the infallible guidance system that we've each been given. Also on that page, you can download the actual worksheet process itself. It's a simple PDF file. Click it, download it, print it off, and use it as often as you'd like. You can also go to your app store and type in the three words, Heartland Aramaic Forgiveness. And before you're done typing the word forgiveness, you'll get access to a completely free and private app that contains the Reality Management Worksheet, an abbreviated version of that worksheet process, and a copy of the Dragon Klingon game, which is a wonderful way to introduce these tools to even younger audiences. We hope people do that soon and often because that gives them food for thought. And it might stir an answer, a question, a testimonial, and then you can give us a call at 563-999-3581 and press 1, and we can have a conversation. Or you can email Jeannie at Jeannie at whyagain.org, whyagain.org. Or you can email me at tjh@mindshifters-academy.org. We're also doing the Course in Miracles workbook lessons this year. Today is the 245th day of the year. The lesson for today simply reads, Your peace is with me, Creator. I am safe. Commentary says, Your peace surrounds me, Creator. Where I go, your peace goes there with me. It sheds light on everyone I meet. I bring it to the desolate and lonely and afraid. I give your peace to those who suffer pain or grieve for loss or think they are bereft of hope and happiness. Send them to me, Creator. Let me bring your peace with me, for I will save your offspring, as is your will, that I may come to recognize my true self. And so we go in peace. To all the world we give the message that we have received, and thus we come to hear the voice for the Creator who speaks to us as we relate this word, whose love we recognize because we share that word that was given to us. And Pam Grout writes in her Course in Miracle experiment book, Lesson 245, she titles it, "Don't confuse a temporary truth or a temporary problem with an eternal truth." She quotes Robert Downey Jr. saying, "Worrying is like praying for something that you don't want to happen." Pam writes, "A month ago, I banged my shin into a coffee table. It hurt, it bled, it made an embarrassingly huge scab. I couldn't wear skirts, shorts, or dresses without people asking, 'What happened?' So instead, I wore pants. It was easier than explaining how I accidentally injured myself in my own living room. I'm happy to report that today, there's absolutely no sight of this unsightly wound. My shin, with no effort on my part, healed itself all on its own. My body was able to completely restore the temporary boo-boo without my participation." The three key words in that sentence are, quote, "without my participation," close quotes. All problems are temporary. They will heal themselves on their own. Unless I decide to participate, to throw myself into action, here's how that works. I recite the problem to my loved ones, usually embellishing it to sound even more ferocious than it actually is. I start worrying, using my powerful consciousness to add energy to something that I don't even want. I Google, I check out books at the library, I even join a support group for dealing with this problem. Most people applaud my efforts and hold up a big sign saying, you know, you scored 10 out of 10 for my hard work and my commitment to eliminate my problem. But what those judges of my actions don't realize is that my active participation clogs up the healing force of the universe. It literally builds a wall. It adds material heft to the thing I'm working to dislodge. So today I remember my shin, how it fixed itself, and I will repeat lesson 245. Peace is with me, and I am safe. So that's our Course in Miracles lesson, workbook lesson for today, and the Course in Miracles experiment commentary from Pam Grout's book. And we've got about 50 minutes left to talk, into your comments, questions, testimonials, entertain conversation. It is a Thursday, and so later today from 6:30 to 9 p.m. Central Time, there will be a Mindshifter support group. And you are welcome to join or pass the information along to anybody you think might be interested in joining. All the information about how to join that group through Zoom is on the website at mindshiftersacademy.org. And we're grateful to everyone who joins us to participate in that and or forwards that information to someone that they think might be interested. And I am also letting people know about the Integrative Mental Health Summit, which is happening October 8th through 10th. It's an online, so it's a virtual summit. So anybody that wants to participate can participate, even if they don't have any money to participate. You can have them reach out to me at tjh@mindshifters-academy.org. And their website is integrativementalhealthsummit.org, all one word. And if you go there, you'll read things like, "We've gathered the foremost innovators, experts, and thought leaders in mental health with one purpose in mind: to better equip you, to give you the tools and techniques you need to treat, cope, heal, and support yourself or anyone struggling with mental health challenges." And by anyone, we mean every one of us. and they continue to add interesting people. I just found out today that Brad Yates, who has a very good YouTube channel where he does a lot of EFT tapping, and I've been referring my patients and others in the support groups to Brad Yates and his EFT channel for a couple of years now. And I've had people tell me, oh my gosh, it sounds, he looks and sounds exactly like you when you used to teach the class in person, because I used to teach an all-day class of that two or three times a year in Barrington, Illinois. And so he stays very close to the original EFT. He is very solid in his insights and intuitions, and hopefully he will be on the panel with us at the Integrative Mental Health Summit, October 8th through 10th, and you can find out more about that. And with luck, he'll agree to let me interview him for the On Your Mind podcast that's hosted by Journey's Dream. Journey's Dream is one of the sponsors of this Integrative Mental Health Summit. And that brings up this week, on Tuesday, 2 days ago, they released or they published the interview I did with Paul Hendry. Paul Hendry with Jacobs Company. It's an international construction company with over, I think it's 55,000 employees. And Paul is a global vice president who began to become aware that mental health issues might be impacting the people that report to him directly. And so he started a mental health initiative at the Jacobs Company. And then an extension of that, it was so successful, an extension of that is their mental health champions. And that's like a four-hour training that they give to people in their company for listening skills and identifying problem areas and pointing people towards resources. And then they launched the 1 Million Lives program. And the 1 Million Lives program has an online mental health check-in. You can go there yourself. You don't have to give any personally identifying information. They'll ask you about your gender and your age and stuff like that so they can track who's using it. But you don't have to give them an email or a phone number or a credit card, anything. It's just a very clean, clear, oml.world, W-O-R-L-D. And if you go to that website, it gives you the option to do a check-in. And if you say, do the long version of the check-in, I think it's 75 questions. It takes maybe 10 minutes to do. And when you finish it, it'll give you a report based on how you answered these questions about where you might work to improve your own mental health and stress levels and diet and exercise and social media presence, et cetera. And it's absolutely free with no strings attached. And Jacobs Company is making it available not just to their employees, not just employees, friends, and families, not just to the clients that they serve and their friends and families, but worldwide. It's now wide open on the internet, and it's a very useful tool. It's far less time-consuming than taking, you know, the MMPI or the 16PF or these other personality assessments. Or it's a very concise mental health check-in that you could make a part of your life and probably help you stay closer to that healthy balance you want in your life by helping you assess these various areas just by answering these questions. And, you know, I know people who do it once or twice a week just so they stay in alignment with their purpose. They're using it as the focus for their mental emotional hygiene tools like the EFT tapping or the reality management worksheet or the breath work, the focused breath work, or the Byron Katie question, you know, worksheet, or the choose again 6-step forgiveness process that Diedrich Wolfsack has and we've presented on this show. So The resources are there. They're growing by leaps and bounds. There's also the website sameheerglobal.org. sameheerglobal.org. And that's another place you can go where you'll see practitioners that practice integrative medicine, functional medicine, holistic approach for mental health issues, people who tell their own story. The same here model is every one of us is impacted by mental health in one way or another. And so there are stories to read. There are resources. There's, you know, one of the benefits is to just for a lot of people to wake up and realize, oh, my gosh, I thought I was the only one who struggled with this problem or this pattern of symptoms or that pattern of symptoms. And we're not alone. It doesn't really matter. Well, not alone. You're not the only one who's got a problem. If you have a problem, if you see difficulty functioning in one way or another, it's just a human pattern. There are other people who have it right now, have had it in the past, and it's quite possible that you don't need to reinvent the wheel to try and find, you know, useful solutions or supports for dealing with that pattern in your life. So, support group tonight, the Integrative Mental Health Summit coming up October 10th, 8th through 10th. Plenty of time for comments, questions, answers, soliloquies, or stepping somebody through a worksheet. Call-in number is 563-999-3581. If you call that number and press 1, we can have a conversation. Another thing that's happened recently is that Dr. Bradley Nelson has agreed to be interviewed for the On Your Mind podcast, and he's the author of the Emotion Code book. And the Emotion Code book is a wonderful book. It's a wonderful tool. It helps describe and teach you how to do a very useful tool for, in Bradley Nelson's words, releasing stuck emotions. And I've been using a similar tool for a lot of years called the neuroemotional technique. And the difference is, the neuroemotional technique talks about short circuits in the energy system, and it requires you to have somebody else to do it on you or with you. And the emotion code talks about stuck emotional energy in the body and teaches you how to do it for yourself so you don't need an outside therapist. And the foreword is by Tony Robbins. He and his wife met with Dr. Nelson and Dr. Nelson's wife, and they really enjoyed it, and they're fans of the work. So it's a delight that somebody gave me an introduction to Dr. Bradley Nelson, and he's agreed to be interviewed. So that's another thing we might be able to make available to the Mind Shifters radio community. But it will definitely be available on the On Your Mind podcast at journeysdream.org/podcast. So who do you think we should be interviewing? What's an author that you really like and or a book that you've enjoyed that we should be reading or interviewing the author of? Or who's a podcast that you listen to on a regular basis that's changed your life for the better? 563-999-3581 and press 1. Or if you're listening to this show in the archives, send me an email with those suggestions at tjh@mindshifters-academy.org. So we've got the emotion codes we could talk about. We've got the reality management worksheet we can talk about. We've got the Mind Shifter targeted journaling tool we can talk about. What's on your mind? what would be of use to you. When you call and you let us know what topic you'd like us to discuss or what question you might have, it makes it far easier for us to live into our intention to be of service. And that's why we're doing this radio show. That's why I donate my time and intelligence and money and energy to this project, so that we can be of service. And it makes it far easier for us to be of service when you give us a call and let us know what would be of interest to you. I had somebody in my office last night for a first time, and this person who is a 911 dispatcher. So all day long, this person is taking calls of people who are in crisis and trauma. And there really aren't any words to describe how hard someone like me has to work in a session like that, in a first session. Because here's a person who absolutely knows how bad the world is, absolutely knows that we're on the precipice of disaster, because that's what her life experience tells her day in and day out. And when I suggest that there are millions of times more good things going on in the world in every given moment than there are bad things, it sounds like a fairy tale. It sounds like absolute gobbledygook to her. And yet, the fact of the matter is, you know, to my observation and my life experience, if all that was going on in the world was what she hears in her 911 calls, we would have imploded. We would have gone to extinction as human beings hundreds, if not thousands, of years ago. And yes, those things that she hears about in her 911 calls, they're real. People do struggle. There are tremendous problems. There is a tremendous wave of people pitting people against each other and people arguing the extremes of practically any position that you can think of. You know, one of the examples she gave was that when this whole coronavirus thing started, they had people calling 911 saying, I look out my window and I see somebody who's out there walking and they don't have a mask on, or they're walking next to somebody else and they're not 6 feet away. And she gives that as an example of how human beings are turning against each other, and how close we are to civil war or whatever. And while those incidents do occur, it is by far a tiny, tiny, tiny fraction of 1% of what's going on in the interactions between one human and another. And, you know, if you haven't had the pleasure of reading the book, I believe the book is Tribe. We've talked about it before here. It's well worth the effort. One of the things that they talk about in that book is that back in the Second World War, they thought when the air raids happen, if the power goes out, if the government isn't able to keep things in control, people are just going to, you know, kill each other by the scores. It's just going to be Armageddon. It's going to be the end of times. You know, if the government isn't there to make sure that people treat each other in a certain way and enforce the rules. And what they discovered was pretty much exactly the opposite. That when the parts of a town got bombed and destroyed and the social services were offline and the police couldn't get there, what happened was human beings helped each other. I didn't mean to shock anybody. I should have given a spoiler alert warning there. Yeah, people helped each other in crisis. And they found that the nature of human beings, which is many, multifaceted, one aspect of it is survival, but there's a part of us that also knows that survival happens best with cooperation and collaboration. And that's facilitated by the fact that there's also this impulse to connect and to feel compassion. And, you know, we have motor mirror neurons in our brains that let us be aware of other human beings having emotions. And, you know, it's the physiological roots of our compassion are contained in the neural structure of the brain. And all of the doom and gloom that was predicted never came to be. Instead, people shocked each other by how nice they were, how much they helped, how much they cooperated, how much they collaborated. So my job, and working so diligently last night in the first session with this patient, was to try and help her understand that she has a very tiny window into a very thin slice, a myopic view, a microscopic view of one little tiny area of humanity. And if I focus on that tiny view, as we all do when we look out through our eyes and try to process the world through our five senses, we get a very skewed, very inaccurate picture of life. And life, the flow of creation in its abundance, in its potential for joy, creativity, compassion, appreciation and gratitude, goes beyond words each new heartbeat. And so I can't really talk about it, except I can point towards observations. Observations like what people make when they write a book like Tribe and they look back in history and say, you know, we feared this would happen and we feared that would happen. But instead, what we found is people helping people all over the place. So the next challenge with this person was to try to help her understand that she was creating her emotions, and that her quote, burnout, close quote, and her pattern of seemingly incessant negative emotional states was not being caused by the outside events in her life. And of course, that's another thing that she's got to start observing for herself. She can't take my word for it. That's why we keep recommending here in this work that people do their own worksheets, that people attend the support groups, that people download the audio files that have, you know, the tutorials, the living examples of people calling into this internet show and doing the being stepped through a worksheet, that you start doing it for yourself, so you demonstrate to yourself that what your culture has taught you about your emotional states is not accurate, that every emotional state I've ever experienced was created inside me by this mechanism of me choosing an interpretation for these neutral life events and then pouring my mind energy into the thoughts that make up that interpretation. Because it's my thoughts that create my emotions, and my emotions, which are just shadows of my thoughts, as Dr. Rice says. So when I can identify that the mechanism of thought, whether it's a choice or a decision, whether it's an automatic pattern that's just kicked in and is playing out, or whether it's something I inherited from the bloodline, or whether it's something I was trained into by my parents because they always looked at everything so negatively. But the thought patterns that I apply to life events, and then the mind energy I pour into those thought patterns, are the only thing that caused my experience of emotion. Some people would modify that and say, like Dr. Bradley Nelson would say, that I can get emotions from an earlier time in my life stuck in my body's energy system. And I tell you, you've got some real powerful observations to work with if you combine Dr. Bradley Nelson's material with Dr. John Sarno's material and his hypothesis that tension myoneural syndrome is a way that our mental emotional tension cuts off blood flow to tissue in the body. And if it does so even by a 10% level for a short period of time, it's enough to initiate excruciating pain. And if you combine that with Dr. Bradley Nelson's ideas that we have emotions that get trapped in our body as energies that get stuck and they can be relieved, now you can start to work with not just emotions but also aches and pains and other symptoms or patterns of unproductive behavior. And with the assumption that when a system isn't working right, it means something is stuck or offline or unable to connect the way it should, and anything you can do to restore that healthy flow or that intended flow is going to start producing positive results. So whether you talk about it the way the neuroemotional technique does, about, you know, reconfiguring the circuit breakers in the energy system that carry the acupuncture and acupressure energy in our emotions, or you talk about it the way Dr. Bradley Nelson does, and you say, hey, there's a stuck emotion, and I'm going to free it up. And once it's freed up, it flows through me, and it doesn't create the problems it was creating just minutes before. And you combine that with Dr. Sarno's work, that, you know what, if I've got energy that's stuck in me, and it lodges in tissue whenever it gets resonated, it can initiate excruciating pain because the tension can block blood flow to tissue, and that's all it takes to initiate excruciating pain. Well, pain is one of the best ways to restrict motion. Right? If I go to move my arm, my right arm above my head, and my elbow gets, you know, 6 inches lower than my shoulder and it's rising and all of a sudden I feel stabbing pain in my shoulder, I'm probably going to stop moving my elbow. I'm probably going to lower it to where it didn't hurt. And very few people would push past a stabbing pain. And so I begin to restrict the motion. And I think it's about a physical problem. Well, that makes really good sense to the conscious logical mind because it's feeling a physical pain. But Dr. John Sarno helped us understand that the mental emotional tension we carry in our tissues is plenty to constrict blood flow. When the muscles start to tense up, and if it constricts blood flow to tissue, even as little as 10%, it's enough to initiate excruciating pain. So, chances are, whenever that's happening, Dr. John Sarno, an actual orthopedic surgeon, a back surgeon, he quit doing surgeries and just focused people on their mental emotional health. And his success rate went from in the mid-30s up to the high 80s. When you consider success to be elimination of pain, complete restoration of motion, and no need for further surgery. So whether you look at Dr. Bradley Nelson's book, or you look at the EFT tapping with Brad Yates, or you look at Michael Rice's reality management worksheet and still point breathing and targeted journaling, there are an abundance of tools to help us have a better life, a better mental and emotional hygiene. And it takes a little effort. It takes, Michael would say, persistent and consistent application of these tools. And we're here to help support just that. call-in number again. It's 563-999-3581. Give us a call. Press 1. And let us know if anything about the topics of conversation so far today are resonating anything with you, or if there's a different topic you'd like us to explore. 563-999-3581. We've got about 22 minutes left. Let us know how we can support you. Press 1. Let us know where you're calling from and what's going on in your young life. I have somebody that I was coping with, dealing with earlier today and helping them cope with some stresses in their life, and they were talking about how they have had so many traumas in their life that they feel like they cannot function well. And again, we're doing more of the same. We're talking about the breath work. We're talking about being aware of the body. We're talking about understanding how the patterns that get locked in me from the generations and from my life experiences can get stuck in me. And so we recommend the breath work and the EFT tapping. And to begin with, when I introduce people to this work, I introduce them to the mental short version of Michael Rice's worksheet. His current worksheet's 7-step. And the mental short version that I introduce people to get them introduced to the work, says, anytime I notice that I don't like how I'm feeling, I stop and I take a breath, I turn the focus inside myself, and I ask myself, what emotion is this? What emotion word could I put on this sensation that I don't enjoy? And then I take another breath, and I realize that I only experience emotions after I've poured enough of my mind energy into a particular thought pattern. So the second step is I ask myself, what's the thought I'm using to create this emotion? And I take a breath and I discern the thought. I figure out what thought it is, that if I pour even more energy into it, the emotion gets stronger. And then I take a breath and I realize that every time there's a thought that I'm using to create a negative emotion, that thought will contain a goal that's not getting met. So right there in the thought are the roots of the goal that I'm holding that is not getting accomplished. And I breathe and I identify the goal. And then I take another breath. And the fourth step is I cancel the thought and the goal, and I ask to be shown the hidden part of my own mind that's actually creating that upset. And once I step through that, whether I just do it that quickly or I add the forgiveness pattern, which talks about canceling my need to be right and canceling my need for anyone or anything to change, including myself, et cetera, then I eventually take another breath and scan my body, and I notice how I'm feeling. And I can repeat that cycle until when at the end of that, I feel calm. And the fifth step is then I think the most loving, safe, gratifying, contented memory that I have from any time in my life, and strengthen that memory until I feel that energy rolling in my heart space. And when I do that, I start to notice that I spend a tiny fraction of the time in my life in the negative emotions compared to what I did before I learned these tools. And that's our offering. We're here to support you in learning about how your mind and body work together, how your automatic decision system is keeping you stuck in patterns that you don't like the results of, and assisting you in whatever way possible to switch that up. Do something differently so that there's a potential for different and eventually better results in your life. So give us a call and let us know how we can support you in doing that. We've got 18 minutes left. 563-999-3581. Call that number and press 1. And let's have a conversation. Let us know what we've talked about so far today that seems on target or off target for you. Let us know another topic altogether that you'd like to have us discuss or explore. I'm reading a book by a gentleman who is a psychologist, and he's writing about being on both sides of the locked door of a psychiatric hospital. Because when he was younger, he got labeled bipolar or schizophrenic, and he was locked up and given medications, and there was no way to understand what he was experiencing in his psyche and his mental emotional health except to label it a disease and an illness and to throw medications at it. And his book doesn't have a Kindle version or an Audible version, but I believe that the title is A Fight to Be. And his name is Ronald Bassman, B-A-S-S-M-A-N. And when he was only 22, he was shackled and put in restraints and given what back then was supposedly a therapeutic approach. They put him in the shock therapy at the time was insulin comas. And basically it's life-threatening. Not only did they numb his body with his mind with drugs, then they put him into these insulin comas time and time again, trying to shock him out of the creative, expressive, peak emotional experiences he was having. And this book is a story of his courage, determination, and resilience as he worked through being a psychiatric patient locked and drugged and shocked without his consent to becoming a psychologist and finding ways to work with people that experience things like that while honoring their humanity and their individuality. So if you know somebody who's struggling or has a family member or a friend who's struggling with mental health issues and they're going to a traditional psychiatrist, conventional psychiatrist or psychologist, and all they're saying is, hey, you have this incurable disease that we'll call schizophrenia or we'll call bipolar disorder or we'll call borderline personality disorder or narcissistic personality disorder and or a list of others. And the only thing is to take your meds and stay on your meds. If you know somebody like that, in the first place, if they're happy doing that, if they're on two or three meds and it's working and they're high functioning and they like life, don't intervene. They're having a good life. The meds are working for them. That's great. But if you know somebody who's taken two or three or more meds and they're still struggling with depression and anxiety and or they're constantly complaining about how sluggish and foggy the meds make them feel, please direct them toward other resources. Other resources include sameherglobal.org, the Integrative Mental Health Summit.org, the On Your Mind podcast at journeysdream.org/podcast, because it's not, you know, we're slowly coming out of the dark ages in psychology and psychiatry, and people are developing and promoting and coaching and providing useful tools to help people change these patterns within themselves in a way that respects their individuality, honors them as a person, a whole person, and doesn't have a lot of negative physical side effects, which are just main effects that people label as side effects. They're just the effects. When you take a drug, it's got an effect. If it's the one the drug company wants you to have and is promoting in their ads, they say that's the effect. If it's anything else, they call it a side effect. But it's still an effect. And as Michael Rice likes to point out, every drug is a poison disguised as a cure. And it really doesn't make any sense to think if you have a healthy person and you give them this substance, it's going to make them sick. But if you have a sick person and you give them this substance, it's going to make them healthy. And yet, we have an entire system of psychological and psychiatric treatments, not cures, that are based on that illogical premise. It just doesn't make sense. You take a healthy person, you give them a substance, it's going to make them sick. It's going to make them feel foggy, cloudy, give them headaches, dizziness, nausea, make it so they have difficulty functioning. But if you take a sick person, and you've defined that person as sick because they're having symptoms that either they don't like or they don't want to have, you give them the same substance that makes a healthy person sick, somehow that's going to make the sick person healthy. I don't think that makes any sense, and I wish I didn't have to report that that's essentially what our psychological and psychiatric models and treatments are based on in the conventional realm. So we are looking forward to helping change that narrative, giving people a much broader, deeper exposure to a wide variety of tools, whether it's somatic therapy, EFT, reality management worksheets, breath work, Dr. Brad Nelson's emotion code, the neuroemotional technique, EMDR for trauma and other types of therapies, meditation. There's a whole host of devices that are coming out to help people by giving them more immediate feedback about their system, biofeedback. There's a brain meditation device called the Muse 2, M-U-S-E, with the number 2. And it's got Bluetooth connection to your phone, loads up an app, provides this nice music and these beautiful pictures, and it reads your brain waves off of your forehead and from behind your ears. And so it gives you feedback when you're relaxed, when you hit different brainwave states. There's a device called the Brain Tap, and it provides light stimulation to your ears and your eyes. At the same time, it pumps binaural sound and music and meditative voices into your ears, which is another way to try and help lift, boost, improve brain function. There's a device called the Mendi, M-E-N-D-I. And again, this is another device that reads your brain waves off of your forehead. And it has an app that basically provides immediate feedback on your phone, and you're trying to get the little ball on your phone to move in one direction or another. And as you develop the relaxed brainwave state, you get the immediate feedback of the app changing and the ball either rising or falling. If you get relaxed, it goes higher. If you get tense, it goes lower. And you can help train your brain to different levels of deep relaxation with the assistance of these tools. If you have difficulty meditating on your own, there's all kinds of good devices for that these days. Just the tip of the iceberg. Actually, it's just a snowflake on the top of an iceberg of different ways to help people with their mental emotional problems than just loading them up with drugs. And, of course, the one we promote most often here is the Reality Management Worksheet, the Three Early Memories of Conflict, the Mind Shifter Targeted Journaling, the Codependence to Interdependence Worksheet, all these available absolutely free at whyagain.org. And if you have any questions about how to use any of them, absolutely free, 5 days a week, 2 hours a day, support for how to use those, clarification on what they might be used for. Not only that, 10-plus years of archives. The first 8 years, 1 hour a day, 5 days a week. And now for the last 2-plus years, 2 hours a day, 5 days a week. Area code 760. You're in the air. Who do we have?
Hey, this is Anne down here in Florida.
Hello, Anne.
I just appreciate your show always. Anyway, I haven't listened in a while, but yesterday and today. So this morning when you started out, you were talking about the ACIM. And then was it Pam Grout's commentary maybe after something about an injury, or maybe you said something about that, and having
an
injury and not telling.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So I did on our trip up to Michigan and back to the peninsula with my family and three dogs, pulling a 37-foot trailer. And I like what you said, or what she said, is that if I go and tell the story of how I bumped my head, because I just discovered this morning that after a week and a half, I have a tender spot still up there. It had the goose egg at the time, and I didn't get ice on it right away, but I did once, you know, later on. And I realized that if I continue to tell that story, except for right now, then it takes me back to the whole thing of how it happened, and then I had some emotional things that I said to my daughter, and then it just does that snowball effect of, wait, I don't need to go there with all of that. It's been dealt with, and I learned some lessons, and blah, blah, blah. And it's like, okay. So my question is, so then it's like Dr. Ray says, we don't necessarily need to tell the story. It's what is the emotion that's coming up, and where did we go with it? So I don't need to tell the story about a lot of stuff that happened on the trip. It's just I need to go inside and say, hey, what did I learn from it? And part of it was to keep my mouth shut and do my own work. Would you agree, disagree that, you know, just because an injury. And so while I was listening to that, I put some aloe on the tender spot on my scalp. And it's like, okay, I'll let the body heal it. I don't need to, you know, go over it with anybody else that I come in contact with. But would you say that works for the rest of our issues that we go through or problems that we think we have, that the more we tell it, the more we revisit it when we don't necessarily need to?
Well, yeah, that's a theme through a lot of the work with great teachers is don't keep telling your story.
Yeah.
Right? Find a way to release it. Find a way to find out what's stuck about it. Find out what you're gaining by holding on to it so that it has to be retold over and over again. The point that she's making is that today's lesson from Course in Miracles reads, your peace is with me, Creator, and I am safe. And in Pam Grout, she, you know, paraphrases that at the end of her lesson and says, peace is with me, I am safe. Well, you know, she just used the example of how she banged her shin on a coffee table and then, you know, complained about it to everybody. And but then she forgot about it, and she wore pants to cover it up, and it healed itself all by itself and left no big scar, and there's no sign of it whatsoever. And she woke up and realized, oh, my goodness, that took care of itself without me having to think about it. So most of my life takes care of itself without me telling the negative stories about it. And when I tell the negative stories about it, I start worrying. Pam Grout says, I'm using my powerful consciousness to add energy to something that I don't even want. Next thing you know, I Google it. I check out a book about it at the library. I join a support group for it. And all I'm doing is blocking the flow of healing energy of the universe, which would probably move me through it far more efficiently if I wasn't telling the negative story over and over and over again.
Okay,
now, some people take that to an extreme, and then they say, oh, I shouldn't be doing worksheets because that's got me focusing on it, or I shouldn't do EFT tapping because that's got me focusing on it. And my response to that is, I think that's an avoidance. I think that's a denial. I think that if I have a pain or a fear or sadness or a physical ache or pain, it behooves me to understand that it's going to move through me. It's an energy. It's a temporary thing, and it'll this too shall pass, and use the tools to dismantle any negative thoughts or emotional energies that I might have, or as Bradley Nelson says in his book, might be stuck in my energy system. They're invisible, and I don't become aware of them until they get resonated, but they're still there. I can use the tools to dismantle them. And when I do, I open the energy flow and things heal better. And there's a big difference between doing my work around something and staying stuck in the negativity and telling the story and dramatizing it and traumatizing it.
Yes. Okay, so it's like, so that's the other things that happen on the trip that I learned, that I gained from, just because now I might see, say, my family in a different light from their interactions, husband and wife with each other. I still need to do my work that caused my emotions during listening to that or watching that happen. Okay, because it came around again this morning.
Well,
so.
And there was something that you said that's kind of a red flag, where you said, you know, what I learned for one of the lessons in this is I learned to keep my mouth shut. Well, that has a fairly negative connotation, and it's about, you know, shutting things down, and it's about not communicating, and so you might want to do some work around that, because that's at least the way it landed on my ears, it seemed like a fairly negative conclusion.
Yeah, I would agree. Good catch, of course. That's why we call in, at least I call in, because I can get this feedback, and it's like, oh, yeah, okay, I get it. Thank you.
I
appreciate it.
All right. Blessings. Thanks for the call. I will remind us all that we come from love. We're made of the stuff we call love. We actually are love, and everything else is false. And I hope I can welcome Jeannie Rice.
Thank you, Dr. Tim. And I got two of the equipments that you were talking about that read the brain waves. I got the, let me find it here, the Muse 2 and the Mindy. What was the third one?
Brain Tap.
Okay. Thank you.
And that's the one that has lights and sound and binaural sound and the lights go in the ears
awesome.
And the eyes. All right.
Okay,
blessings.
Awesome.
Have a wonderful show.
Thank you. Thank you, Dr. Tim. So welcome, everybody, to the second hour of Mind Shifters Radio. Today is Thursday, September the 2nd, 2021, and our call-in number is 563-999-3581. And press 1, and that puts you into queue to talk to us. We'd love to hear your comments and questions because that makes this your show. Welcome, Michael.
Thank you, dear heart. It's amazing to think we're into September already. It's going to be Christmas before we know it. This year has gone so quickly. Of course, part of the reason for that is we have this little blessing around here, Ari Rain, who is now 3 and is just more delightful every day. So welcome, everyone. Honored and delighted that you're here to be part of continuing this conversation about first century Aramaic forgiveness. And the thought on my mind today as we begin the show comes from A Course in Miracles, where the Course speaks about the idea, and it's in the chapter on what is the world from the workbook. And the chapter talks about perception. It says that perception is a skill made up by us to take the place of what the Creator gave us in creation. And that's something that, you know, Jeannie and I have been working with, the work we've been doing lately with the intensives, with still point breathing, has kind of opened new levels of process for us. And I'm seeing that on a personal level, that when I deal with something that's a perceptual construct, there's one level of challenge and one level of difficulty in working through it. But when I'm willing to let that perceptual construct go, which happens when you utilize this genius piece of technology called first century Aramaic forgiveness, then I'm getting to process the energetic dynamics of something directly rather than being stuck or lost in the perceptual construct. And if you've not really looked into the forgiveness process yet, you'll note that in Aramaic, the word that's been translated as forgive into English is the word shabag or shabak, which literally translated means to cancel. And most people are quite struck and shocked, and in some measure of disbelief, when they learn that what needs to be canceled in order to engage fully in first century Aramaic forgiveness is the goals that we're holding at any given moment. And many years after beginning to engage in the first century Aramaic forgiveness process, I understand why, because there was nobody that had a clue what was going on or how it worked, I understand why it took so long to really comprehend why and how the process works. So it seems like an appropriate thing to share at this point. Once again, reminding us why and how one would do such a perfectly ridiculous thing as have a wonderful goal that leads to them being in pain and having to cancel that goal. You know, somebody will be in a situation where, let's say they're interacting with somebody and they just want that person to be, let's say, fair with them. And they load the goal of fairness in their minds. They find themselves in a pained perceptual construct. And somebody like Dr. Tim or Jeannie or Michael comes along and says, well, why don't you cancel your goal for fairness here? And it's like, wait a minute. Fairness here is a reasonable thing for me to desire. Why would you suggest that I cancel that goal? Well, actually, it's not me or Jeannie or Dr. Tim suggesting it. It's the man Yeshua 2,000 years ago who created this piece of technology. We just happen to become the beneficiaries of it, happen to work with it long enough to begin to understand why and how it works. And when I say long enough, I'm saying for me, it took me almost 31, 32, 33 years of full-time engagement with that process to understand what was going on. So I understand why when somebody is first introduced to the idea, it just seems ridiculous. And you have to actually utilize the tool. And when you utilize the tool, all of a sudden, you start to see that things are changing in a way that just goes beyond belief. So let's see if we can explain it so that if you're new to the process or you only been around a year or two or 10 and haven't quite gotten to it yet, what's going on? First of all, you have to understand that when you think you're looking at something in the world, your mind is lying to you. You're not looking at anything. You don't see things through your eyes. Your brain generates the world that you see, the constructs of your brain are what we call perception. And it was a really nice little piece of information that came into the puzzle and helping to understand it. It came from some research that was done, I'm thinking it was back in the 50s. At Harvard, where they discovered that in a time frame where they could measure 10,000 units of electrical activity happening in the brain, the max amount of data that went into construct that the mind shows us was 9 bits. So they could measure 10,000 units of brain cell firings, pretty large, massive data moving. But all that was able to enter into the gate of perception was 9 bits, a very small fragment. The mind selectively used content to build the picture world we see. That's why so many people can stand around a particular event, and then when you hear people describing the event, you wonder if any two of them were at the same event. You sit in the courtroom and 6 different people testify about an accident, and their descriptions are so different. You say, well, certainly they weren't all at the same accident, but they were. In terms of the actuality that happened, but each one of them had a construct that showed them something that was inside of themselves. And if there was pain attached to that which was moving inside of themselves, then they tended to say that that event was a painful event. Pain that they were experiencing. Remember that some of the people who were at the accident weren't pained at all. Some of them might have even thought it was funny. But someone experienced it as a painful event because the event resonated in them, something that was painful, and the goal that drove their perceptual construct caused the mind to use that painful data. So we have this driver, as we've referred to it previously, the driver for perception is that which selects which 9 bits of data are going to be used to build perception out of the 10,000 brain cells firing. And the person who experiences it as a painful event experiences it as a painful event because the event resonated something connected to pain inside of them, and they loaded a goal in their minds that allowed that pain attached to that perceptual content to enter into their mind's construct. So when we talk about forgiving, we're not doing anything with letting somebody else off the hook, but we're inviting people in any given moment where the mind is using pained content to look at the goal that recruits that pained content, that resonates what's unresolved and has pain attached in them, and that energetic dynamic from inside of them is recruited into activity and becomes part of the mind's construct. And the world has taught us that whatever the actuality is, the event at the moment is the cause of the pain we're experiencing. When the truth is, that which is causing the pain in us, now, that's short of somebody coming up and punching us in the nose. So the genius of this man Yeshua to tell us that in any circumstance where there is pain, what forgiveness looks like is canceling the goal that's driving that pain perception is, I don't know, to me, is just now understanding it is just so brilliant. I mean, I taught it for decades because it worked without understanding why it worked and what was going on. It took me decades to get to understand it. Interaction with many, 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 many people. So here's what happens. When I really crisply identify the goal that I hold in the situation where I have pain, and I'm willing to cancel that goal, the construct my mind is holding that fills that experience with pain collapses because it's being driven by, it's being resonated by or activated by, brought to the forefront by the goal that I'm holding. So when I cancel the goal, the whole construct collapses. When it collapses in on itself. And I find a good visualization to really get the core of what's happening here is you'll remember the towers on 9/11, how the towers collapsed in at free fall speed on their own footprint, which of course is silly and impossible from a physics point of view, but that's a different conversation. But when you think about those towers coming crashing down into their own footprint, you think about a perception that holds pain collapsing into its own footprint, then you realize that that collapse gives you access to what the mind keeps hidden underneath the perceptual construct. When that raw pain energy comes forward, not as part of a perceptual construct that tricks us into thinking that this is about Bill or Harry or Mary or Hortense. When that perceptual construct has collapsed and we get to access that data directly, instead of getting lost in the story our mind is telling us with that particular construct, the construct, having dissolved, now gives us access to the pain energy directly. Oftentimes, one will go right back to a memory of the event that happened. And that event might have been 2 months ago or 2 years ago or 2 decades ago or 2 centuries ago. Somebody says, well, Michael, I wasn't around 2 centuries ago. Yeah, well, that's true. But the energetic dynamics held in your genes have been around for eons. And sometimes when you engage in forgiveness, there might be some confusion because I'm accessing something that I don't even have recognition of because it actually didn't happen to me. It happened to someone in my genetic history. But those energetic dynamics are still there. And when resonated, called on, or activated by a goal, they become part of the perceptual construct of the moment. And so I bring this forward to simply make the point for anyone who's listening, who's building the brain cells, who's really working these tools and understanding it. And I understand that it's not for everybody to go this deeply, and that's okay. But if you recognize that one of the beauties, one of the benefits, one of the amazing things that happens when you do use this technology is that, and you'll remember, before you cancel the goal on the worksheet process, you know, whether you're looking at the app or you've got a printed worksheet, the step before you cancel the goal, you call upon and you bring forward conscious, active, present love. You invite support from that elemental force that is within you. And when that active presence of love is moving in you, whatever opens up that is less than love, whatever your physiology has been tightening against and locking down, and you've worked to inhibit its activity in you so that you don't have to deal with it. And that inhibiting activity might be a habit that was passed on generation to generation to generation to generation. But when you purposely, consciously, when you're heading into something that is pained in you and you purposely cancel the goal that you know is driving the activity or the resonance of that pained energy, then you get to process that energy directly. And in its direct processing, it's no longer dealt with as a, oh, look what Bill did to me, and I'm stuck in this big story about Bill and how he did that, and she did that, and they did that, and I went like this, and they hurt me. You know, you don't have to go through all the facets of this complicated cover-up. By standing in the willingness to have your perception in any given moment totally collapsed and disintegrated, and standing in the willingness to bring forward your pain directly in the presence of love, when you reach that point, the awesome thing that happens is that the pained content directly exposed to the presence of love rather than indirectly exposed by being projected into your brain's image of someone else, that content, that pain is transmuted by the exposure to the presence of love, and you're freed of it. And many people, as they use these tools, go, you know, it doesn't make sense. I don't know why I'm not all upset about that thing that just happened to me, because the last 1,007 times that it's happened to me, I've been upset. But here it happened just today, and I had no disturbance and no upset about it. I don't know why. Well, here's why. Because those last 12 or 200 or 600 worksheets that you did, and yeah, it might take 600 or more worksheets that you did around that type of experience. You know, the core pain, you may find it projected into many different people, your brain's image of many different people and many different experiences. But each time you collapse it and you expose another piece of it to active love, pain dissolves. And then the event that your mind was telling you caused your pain can happen again. And you go, well, I don't really understand it, but I'm not upset about that event anymore. Well, the truth is you never were upset about that event. Your brain constructed a projection that your upset was about that event, but your upset was about the fact that you held that upset energy in you. Your pain was about the fact that you held that pain in you, not the fact that someone did something that brought that pain up. So as long as you're working with your story and how Harry did this and Mary did that and Hortense did this, you're skipping around the surface of something. It, you know, it's kind of like trying to catch, you know, you're in a hurry and you're trying to catch a bar of soap with wet hands. You can't catch up with it. But when you identify, and this is a really important key in the process, when you identify the specific and exact goal that you're holding for Bill or Harry or Mary or Hortense, and you cancel that goal, the related perceptual structures collapse. And that which you made, perception, to take the place of what the Creator gave you in creation is removed, and you get back what the Creator gave you in creation. And guess what? The Creator is involved in a giant conspiracy. And the Creator's conspiracy is to bring you the absolute best, most profoundly powerful, loving experiences that life has to offer. And guess where that comes from? Just like the pained experiences that seem to come from out there and don't come from out there, the profoundly beautiful, the profoundly connected, the taste, the direct taste of active present love comes from within you. You've never been upset, angry, fearful, sad, depressed about anything that's happened in your life. But if you've had sad and angry, depressing, what your mind tells you are experiences, you've had them because there's been anger, sadness, and depression in you, not because events have happened. And each time you identify the goal in the circumstance where that anger or that sadness or that depression comes to the surface, you identify precisely the goal driving it and cancel the goal, you get to process through. And remember our definition of processing. That is the ability to hold love, conscious, active, and present when something less than love. And so as you process through the root of your pain and your generational pain, Mattaquiasin, the Native Americans, had a wonderful phrase. Mattaquiasin, and in English, the closest translation I know of that we can get to for those words are, and Mattaquiasin are the words that the Native Americans used when they entered into a sweat lodge or into a healing ceremony. And it means, for all my relations, that I'm willing to be the space that stays connected to conscious, active, present love. Well, the experiences born and bred in me from all of my relations are opened up and healed by exposure to active love. And when that occurs, it doesn't matter when that ancestor left their body behind, whether it was a day ago, a generation ago, 100 generations ago. I now stand in the space where energetically I can take on and transmute that energetic pattern of pain, not only for myself, but everybody in my bloodline who's ever experienced that pain. And I can take it on and transmute it for my future generations. I can open the energetic window for the space to be created that this is energy is lifted. You can almost imagine, like reaching in and lifting it off of the bloodline, that the load has been removed. And that kind of gives you a window, a picture of why we're here talking to you right now, why we're doing this radio show. Because I know that from experience, most people aren't going to spend. One, most people don't have the brain cells. Two, most people aren't going to spend the time that it takes to understand what I just spent 25 minutes explaining. It's not going to happen. But when you stand in that space of willingness to embrace, you know, you listen to the story about Yeshua in the Garden of Gethsemane, and we're told that he took on the sins of the world, remembering that the word sin in Aramaic simply is an archery term that means energies that are off the mark. That he stood in a space where he said, I'm willing to hold the space and be the space for all of these energetic dynamics, for all of humanity to be liberated. And we can connect with that principle and be part of the process of lifting the pain, not only from ourselves and our generations, but from the world. Christianity has put it in the way of, well, you know, he took on the sins of the world and that's what killed him. That's why they murdered him. And it was your fault. A whole fear-based misinterpretation. Simply, the man stood as such a space of conscious, active, present love and said, I'm willing to open space to allow that energy to be processed through me. Are you willing to be the space that allows the energy of your pain, of your generational pain, of the pain of humanity to be processed through you so that in a team effort we can be alleviated of that pain for once and for all, permanently? That's our invitation. You know, if you want to join this team, you want to do this work, that's what we're inviting you to do. And that's why we're here having this conversation, so that build the brain cells, engage in the work, and literally change the whole dynamic of their family system. So I hope that fits and makes sense for everyone as to the reason we're doing what we're doing and the invitation to you to join us in it. And that offers some understanding of what we're here ready to do and support in terms of the healing process. And I'm going to turn to why is this happening to me again and what you can do about it on page 107 and do just a little bit of reading from the book. If you haven't been enjoying the show, if you're new to it, we decided at the beginning of the year we'd read a couple of paragraphs of why is this happening to me again as an opening to the show, so that over the period of the year we covered the whole book. If you haven't read the book yet, you can go online and order it. It's in our catalog. There's an audio of the book that you can purchase. You can go to our website and you can download the book free. You know, we have things set up in a way that, you know, while we do everything we can free, we haven't figured out how to do it for nothing. So there's a way for you to, you know, bring in some sort of cash flow that helps to support us in doing what we're doing, and you're welcome to have it free. You can also, the book is out of print right now. You can also purchase a copy of the book used. Fortunately, you know, it's been out there 25, whatever number of years it is. We put enough copies out there that they're still around for sale used on Amazon or on eBay. There are always copies available you can buy for a couple bucks. And so we're on page, if you're following us, page 107. We've been talking to this character, Richard, about the idea that the body has a mind of its own and how files, so to speak, connect in a mind. Understanding how carbon-based memory system, this device that we call a body mind unit that's made of carbon, and if you look at a carbon atom, you'll find 6 electrons, 6 protons, 6 neutrons. That's where our pain is stored, 666. Remember that number? You'll notice that the person who watched the accident who was in great pain, the pain that they experienced was stored in their carbon-based memory system. The person who watched the accident and wasn't in pain didn't have that stored in their carbon-based memory system. So they were able to stand as a space of conscious, active, present love and not get lost in pain. The mind of active love in us is the mind that we're designed to think with, to live out of, and that was called the mind of Christ. And then you'll notice there was the thing that was called the Antichrist. Where is that stored? This isn't a religious idea. It's simply that physiologically, our pain, our trauma, the things that take us out of the mind of love are stored in this carbon-based memory. Maybe they understood that when they talked about this Antichrist having a number, 666. And so am I willing to embrace that which is in my carbon-based memory, my 666 database, and process through it? And we're explaining the dynamics. And, you know, if you have the brain cells, you know, Yeshua says, if you go back and look at his words 2,000 years ago, he says, in order to understand what he's talking about, in order to use his work, in essence, what he says is, you've got to have the eyes to see and the ears to hear. He says, those who having ears do not hear. Those who having eyes do not see. I promise you, the first time I said to you, cancel the goal and you'll be doing forgiveness, you didn't have the eyes to see and the ears to hear what I just explained. I didn't have it for decades working with it. But now when I say cancel a goal, you've got the eyes and the ears of Yeshua to go, oh, okay, so I cancel the goal, I collapse my perception, I embrace the underlying pain that's been projected into my brain's image of someone else. I realize that they've given me a gift by bringing me an experience that's shown me a part of me that I can heal, and now I step into healing that part of me. If you have the understanding of how the mechanism works, it makes the whole process a lot easier than somebody coming along and saying, well, just cancel your goal or just forgive them. We're not saying forgive anybody for anything. We're saying apply the tool of first century Aramaic forgiveness to collapse the perceptual constructs of your mind so that you get to dissolve everything in you that is less than love. You get to pass that gift on to your whole family system and all of humanity, and you show up in the world as your created essence, living in the mind of love, or what was called the mind of Christ. That's what we're here for. So I'm in this conversation with Richard, and we're talking about how we can get lost in the firing of brain cells. We're talking about what we call the file folder effect. And I use the example of, you know, something that I know Richard and everyone else has, and that's brain cells for two different words. But for most people, those two words have never been hooked together before. So I offer to him, you know, the idea of don't think about a purple alligator. And of course, what happens? Purple and alligator fire. So now those two files, we're illustrating the file folder effect, those two files, whenever the word purple is used or the word alligator, are going to tend to resonate in each other. You notice I used that, talked about that yesterday, and when I offer this, don't think about a purple, and what comes to mind? Alligator. Now, 25 years from now, I might say that same phrase, and you'll hear it, and the amplitude of the firing of those brain cells that are linked together through the file folder effect may have decayed away so far that you have no recollection of, you know, yesterday or today's radio show, and no recollection of that whatsoever. But when I say don't think about a purple alligator, or pardon me, a purple, and leave the word alligator out, 25 years from now, the file folder effect is going to cause the brain cells that are linked together through that effect to fire in you, even though they never come to conscious awareness, and that's going to be an unconscious influence in your mind. If you listen to the ancient teachings, they tell us that we must take care of the heart, for out of it are the issues in life. That word heart in our updated modern language would be the unconscious. So if firing, now, of course, it's a silly example of purple alligator, but if you can imagine how 25 years later, when you have no recall of me talking about a purple alligator, but realizing the file folder effect is there, and you heard Michael Rice's voice say, don't think about a purple alligator, would be moving on some level in your mind. Now, extrapolate that out and realize that if something happened when you were 3 years of age, let's say around someone who had a particular length of brown hair, and it was painful. 30 years later, you might be married to a person with brown hair that happens to be that particular length, and those brain cells fire, and all of a sudden you're in pain around them, and you think your pain's got something to do with them, and it has nothing whatsoever to do with them, but it's something that's moving in your deep unconscious. The way you access and remove those unconscious influences, this is how you take care of the heart and you put an end to the traumatic issues in your life by forgiveness. And all of a sudden, that which maybe you've been blaming your spouse for, you go, oh my God, that's where that came from. Now I've removed that unconscious influence stored in carbon-based memory, my 666 memory bank. I'm freed of that trauma. My relationship is freed of that trauma. And it opens a space for my generations to be freed of that trauma. So that's the impact of understanding, having the brain cells for understanding the file folder effect. So, again, asking that question of Richard, I ask him, well, so if I say the word purple, don't think about a purple, what's going to come up? He says alligator. And he says, well, but, you know, I probably won't even remember that a year from now. And I offer back, well, that may be true, but it illustrates the point. And he goes on, and we did cover this yesterday, but it fits to bring it back in today again. One of the things that puts events into long-term memory is emotion. Repetition will drive the energy even deeper into the mind. Let's look at an all-too-typical example. Imagine over time of a decade or two of someone's life, a young boy is taught through being yelled at and punished the conflicting thoughts that, and I use the example of a very popular idea in our culture, sex is dirty, save it for the one you love. Consider the file folder effect and what results when, you know, when one is expected. What are you going to see firing from those links in the mind? And Richard pops out the idea, well, it sounds like fertile ground for insanity. And I offer back, you got it. Until he can forgive conflicting realities in his mind, anything that resonates sexuality will trigger sex is dirty, save it for the one you love. The resultant flow of realities will probably leave him in conflict because hooked into those files, whenever they're resonated, are desire, guilt, conflict, and punishment. Do you see why negativity and punishment come into a marriage and violence results? Many people try to stay in control so they can live happily ever after, which is another thought key to relationship. All this adds up to more and more confusion. Each of the main realities in these files is highly emotionally charged and linked together. What chance do you suppose that person has of a good marriage? What do you suppose will be the resulting reality flow in a spouse's mind considering the file folder effect? Richard says, I suspect it would be pretty crazy, like I've been in my marriages, he replied grimly. Precisely, confusion will be the result. Suppose we get two people in a marriage, each with similar realities, and they continuously resonate these kinds of brain cells for each other. You mean like in my marriages, bedlam. It's insane. Divorce, pain, hatred, revenge. It's like being at war. Richard wept in grief and rage. I sat quietly and held the space of love, proceeded through profound emotion. And then we have a key thought in the book. It says, the more we're able to presence love for each other, the faster the healing proceeds. And so this is an example. You know, you look at the fact that we live in a culture with a divorce rate of over 50%, the spousal abuse rate, the child abuse rate, the murder rate in this country, outrageous. How much do you suppose in just these simple paragraphs we just laid out the reason why and what has to be faced and processed through in order for healing to occur? In every arena where there is pain and trauma, there is the file folder effect held in carbon-based memory. And it's time for that to be worked through. And each of us are going to have to face and deal with whatever's stored in our, that construct in the mind on family and sexuality and relationship. And of course, the myriad of other events that occur in our lives. The reason we're here is to help people to build the brain cells and to open that understanding and clean up those parts of the mind. And we are honored and delighted that you're here to be part of the process. And our calling number, if you're listening on one of those stations that that we can't see in our control panel where we're syndicated, the call-in number for the show, if you dial up from your phone, 563-999-3581, will key you directly into the show. And once you dial in and you're listening to the show, if you have a question or comment, need support with something, need clarity with something, if you push one, that will raise a hand in the control panel, and you'll hear Jeannie's sweet voice introducing you by your area code. Ms. Jeannie, do we have anybody out there with a hand up in the phone queue or anything happening in the chat room?
It is all quiet, but I would like to read a full passage. You read or quoted the statement about perception being a skill made up for you to take the place of what God gave you in creation. And I was trying to find that passage so I could put it in the notes. And it's actually, it may be in several places in the course, but where I found it was in the chapter of Undoing Fear. And it's talking about fear and guilt. And it says, why would you cling to it in memory if you didn't desire the effects? Remembering is as selective as perception being its past tense. It is perception of the past as if it were occurring now and still were there to see. Memory is like perception, is a skill made up by you to take the place of what God gave you in creation. And like all the things you made, it can be used to serve another purpose and to be the means for something else. It can also be used to heal and not to hurt, if you so wish it to be. So I liked reading the whole section of it because even in Dr. Tim's part of the show when Ann called in and she was talking about retelling a story and adding energy to it and remembering it and keeping it going. And so this went along with that as well as what you were saying in your introduction, and that our memory, what's stored in our carbon-based memory, is what's used for our perception. And we use it to block what's really out there and not really see what God's given us. And I say we, all of us. So I just wanted to read that whole section. Are you there? I think you're talking, but I can't hear you on the show. I can hear you through the wall. And I'm not sure he can hear me, so I'm going to walk in there. So hold on just a moment, everybody.
And I can hear you through the window. No, I'm here.
Oh, okay.
I was just doing a search on my phone as you were talking and reading that, because it does quote it in a very similar way, but actually it's slightly different in the lesson, What is the World? So you can put this reference in too. It's lesson 241, section 3, What is the World? And in this lesson, it talks about how all the world disappears. You know, there's a book out there about the end of the world, and it's not about, you know, everything's going to come crashing down the buildings and all of that. It's about the world of perception being collapsed, and that the world that we live in, the world of false perception, is a construct of the mind. And that when forgiveness is applied, literally what we've been locked into, what we've been lost in, tends to disappear. And so it's a good lesson to really tap into. In fact, if people want to, they can go to our website, whyagain.org, and on the right-hand side, well, actually, I'm not sure where the Facebook page is. I haven't looked at that recently, but they can click, pardon me, not Facebook, but our YouTube channel.
All the links are at the top.
At the top. Okay, so click our YouTube channel and then do a search for ACIM, What is the World? And there's a shortened version. We actually have a two-hour version in our catalog of DVDs that you can purchase, but there's a shortened, I think it's a 32 or 35 minute version of that lesson on our YouTube channel you can go to free. But it talks about here here in this, you know, that we're trying to get away from what the Creator, what love gave us, and this is where perception is born. And this lesson offers this: for knowledge could not offer such insane thoughts, but eyes deceive and ears hear falsely. Now mistakes become quite possible, for certainty is gone. The mechanisms of illusion have been born instead, and now they go to find what has been given them to seek. Their aim is to fulfill the purpose which the world was made to see, was made to witness and make real. They see in its illusions but a solid base where truth exists, upheld apart from lies. But everything they report is but an illusion, which is kept apart from truth. As sight was made to lead away from truth, it can be directed. And whenever I read that line in this particular lesson, I think about that old spiritual tune about wherefore as once I was blind, now I see. But actually, if the words in that song were accurate, it would be wherefore as once I was sighted, now I see. Because what we call sight, and here, you know, the Course very accurately describes it, sight was made to lead away from truth. So wherefore, as once I thought I could see things happening out there in the world, and I called that sight, that was perception, and it leads away from truth. And when we wake up, then we can start to utilize even our sight to really truly open the ability to see and move into vision. And so it's a powerful place to go. And there's another lesson, 32 in the Course, that says, I have invented the world I see. And so when I wake up to that, everything changes. When I stand in the space of willingness to collapse the world I see and question its veracity, then I'm freed from that false world of perception. And that leads to everything changing. And I'm just kind of skipping through my notes in this lesson to just give some highlights for it. So that this particular, or one of the lessons that I've integrated here, says, seek not to change the world, but choose to change your mind about the world. Perception is a result and not a cause. When you start putting this all together, it's just so profound and so powerful. And just searching through some notes that I have on this.
And we do have a hand up.
Lesson. Well, let's go to the hand then. That's probably the most important thing to do at this moment. Let's go for it. Say hello to our caller. Jeannie?
Sorry, I hung up on myself. I had to dial back in.
Okay, I lost you there. I was like, oh, what happened?
So I believe it's Doug. 314, you're on the air.
Yes, it is. Hi.
Hey, young man.
Howdy. With a couple minutes left here, I mean, even where you were going was very interesting to me, like when you stopped for the call, but I just wanted to say that I found what you had to say today very helpful, because just another layer of seeing, okay, perception is, you know, it's the illusion that I'm living in out of the past that is built in my brain that can't possibly be anything closer at best than an approximate image, you know, of God's real world. And when I think of giving that up, recognizing that, I can much easier embrace whatever is happening and say, well, there must be some good in it. Like right now, I've been ill. I've been struggling a lot with resisting and trying to do anything I can to save my relationship, you know, and I don't want it to end, but she's been increasingly moving away from it and wanting more and more to end it. And I feel like there's been so much grief and loss come up for me, and I can identify, you know, all this loss from the past and doing worksheets on loss and, you know, all the other losses in my life and, you know, my conviction that I've worked so hard to make her the most important and only important woman in my life. And it just feels so wrong to me, you know, for this to be happening. But I've been reaching for how can I get past that? And I feel like what I wanted to say is that some of today, what you were saying, there was sort of a shift that I really am grateful for, to say that, okay, this is my perception that tells me it's all wrong, and that feels all this loss and grief. And the reality is, the actuality is that God's will is perfect all the time. So if I step outside of perception, then perhaps she is acting in perfect divine accord with the divine will, and this is just perfect, and this is, you know, how life is supposed to be, and it's a gift to myself and to her and to everything. You know, I can't know that her choice is wrong. So anyway, I wanted to just speak that, see what feedback you had. I felt like saying something about it will help unwind me a little bit more, which is what I need to do. So much energy unwinding right now. And thank you for the great instruction that was flowing through you today.
Sweet. Well, there's a section, you know, the section Jeannie was reading, memory, like perception, is a skill made up by you to take the place of what God gave you in your creation. And like all things you made, it can be used to serve another purpose and be a means for something else. It can be used to heal and not to hurt, if you so wish. And so, you know, if you look and notice that your language and your words want to go in the direction of what she's doing and how it can be perfect, and you're right, but then you might take it to the next level of looking inside of Doug and what is that event in the world resonating for you that is your healing that you need to undo in your perceptual constructs. And
I
that will take you...
Go ahead.
Say again?
I believe it's all these past losses, you know, all this loss energy.
So then, just like we were talking about Richard and what Richard has in brain cells, is, you know, I gave him that idea of the purple alligator and sex is dirty, save it for the one you love. What's in the past that's coming forward that now needs to be undone and forgiven in you? And my offering is that's the sole purpose of the world at this point, is to show you what you need to heal. And when I go inside and do that healing work, everything shifts and changes.
When you say,
and we're going to run out on the clock, but we're going to run it down till the phone cuts us off, so go ahead.
When you say the sole purpose of the world is to teach us what we need to heal and forgive, I assume you mean the sole purpose as long as we are errant, and as soon as we are healed, then it would be for our bliss. Is that correct?
Correct. The lowercase w world I'm referring to there. Then there's the uppercase w world. It might be a perfect time to go and listen to that lesson, What is the World, on our YouTube channel. Because I distinguish between the lowercase w, the world of perception, and then the uppercase w, the world the Creator actually created. So yes, it all is right. Made ultimately for our bliss, to restore us to the truth of who we are. Breathing with you. All right, my friend. Be blessed. Yeah. Lots of love. Thank you, everyone, for joining us. Create the best year yet of your life.